there has been an uptick in these cases. What has been the trend in Illinois?
Well, typically every year we have about 35 cases of mumps that are reported on average. And this year we're already up to more than 60 or so. And some of that is because, actually more than 70, some of that is because we have two outbreaks that are ongoing currently that we're investigating. One is involving about 40 people. Another one's involving about 12 people, Sangamon County Morgan County. So we're trying to tease that out and try to figure out what's going on with that.
In the past, when there have been, you know, smaller outbreaks in a county, what has usually been an underlying cause?
That's the purpose of the investigation, is really to get to the root cause. And so some of the questions we ask of all the infected people or the affected people in an outbreak is, we ask about their vaccination history, because oftentimes they think they were vaccinated and they weren't vaccinated, or they were incompletely vaccinated. For mumps, for example, it's a two-shot series. You need two shots to be completely vaccinated. We also know that vaccination isn't 100% foolproof. So we try to get to that, and oftentimes what you'll find is the source case, the person that had the initial infection, was not vaccinated and then was exposed through some interaction, be it a school field trip or a bus or some facility, cafeteria or something like that, the dorms on campus, that they basically exposed others to it. So at this point, we can't speculate on what's causing these two, but we are currently investigating those outbreaks.
They're highly contagious, is that correct?
They're highly contagious both before symptoms really occur, so before you can see the rash or the swollen glands, and then after the symptoms go away, they're still infectious. So there's a large infection period, what we call an incubation period before, where they can be very infectious and very contagious, again, to those who are unprotected because they haven't been vaccinated.
And were both of these considered eradicated?
Well, measles and mumps and many of these chicken pox and others, rubella, these are all what we call vaccine-preventable diseases. So they're not eradicated off the face of the earth. They do occur, but they're vaccine-preventable, which means that since we've had good vaccines over the last 50, 60, 80 years or so, these have essentially been very quiet. So, again, a state as large as Illinois, 35 cases per year that are reported. And, again, you still have some people who don't like to vaccinate their kids because they feel like vaccines are unsafe or they have some other concerns.
And that's been in the media a lot lately, the so-called anti-vaxxers.
Well, I don't know that we've studied who those people are that don't want to vaccinate. What we know, for instance, is every year the school age population, there's school required vaccines. And we know that every year there's about 5 to 10% of eligible students who don't get vaccinated. Now we do have a couple of outs, a couple of what we call waivers for religious reasons or for medical reasons. You may be allergic to the vaccine. But even with that, every year there's about 60,000 school age kids that haven't either had a waiver or the vaccine. We haven't taken the time to study who those people are and what their issues and concerns are, but every year we do have to compete with and try to address the myths around the safety issues around vaccines to encourage parents that it is important to protect your own children as well as those that they come in contact with.
It does cost a lot, correct, to contain an outbreak of something. So do you have any estimates on the cost
Well, that's a great question. Not on the dollar amount. We know that there is a dollar amount associated with it. We know that there is opportunity cost. And when you're talking about people being pulled out of work for, let's say, 2 weeks at a time, pulled out of school, and productivity costs, we haven't done that on a statewide level. We can probably get those estimates on a national level. But yeah, your point is well taken. There are a lot of costs, both directly and indirectly, of trying to contain an outbreak. Local health providers, local health department staff who actually have to go out and trace these cases back, crunch the numbers, interview everyone that's affected, and try to piece that together with the geography and really figure out what's the story behind this particular outbreak. So it's a lot of man hours, a lot of hours lost from work, lost from school. So, yeah, the cost is very high.
Finally, is there anything Illinois can do legislatively? It is mandatory to vaccinate your kids unless, you mentioned, you get a waiver.
Well, there's laws in the books that apply to both public schools and private schools, so non-public schools as well, that require vaccinations for school-age children. There are those exemptions that we mentioned. I think we have all the laws that we need. What we don't have is the vigilance on behalf of parents, and we don't have the vigilance, in my opinion, on behalf of the schools, who need to really reinforce and enforce the laws and say, well, you know, Johnny can't come to school unless, you know, he brings proof of his vaccination. And so I think there, and for schools, sometimes there can probably be competing interests. We need a student here present to get paid for that student. You know, there's some financial incentives to not keep students out for a prolonged, but the public health message is that more vigilance on behalf of the parents, more vigilance on behalf of the school administrators to ensure that they're enforcing the requirements for vaccination.